Amen. So this story of the woman who came into dinner with Jesus is fascinating. All four Gospels have this. All right, at this point, I'm going to give you a close-up of the board, and I'm going to show you the listing of all four listings in the Gospel, and I'm going to encourage you to put it on pause. Get your Bible out and mark these, not just for use right now. We're not going to touch on them specifically, but throughout the week and for your own teaching. Here we go. You're going to find this story of the woman anointing Jesus in Matthew 26, 6 through 13, Mark 14, 3 through 9, Luke 7, 36 through 50, and John 12, 1 through 8. A father had a daughter, but he also had a father of his own. That father was a traditional Jewish grandfather, and the day came when the granddaughter graduated from high school and went off to college. It wasn't college that was near. It was a long way away, and 4 years later, that granddaughter sent him an invitation that said, "Please come and join me for my graduation." And so ironically, the very last day of her college career was the very first day that this grandfather was present in her college life. The auditorium was huge, and of course it was packed. The granddaughter sat down on the floor, on the chairs, close to the dais where she could get her diploma, and the grandfather was way to the back, up in the balcony. And the time came for that granddaughter's name to be called and for her to walk across the stage. No one quite knew how that grandfather was going to react because he had been raised in his traditional Jewish culture in the middle of one of the urban Jewish centers. He had been raised in a whole different culture of how women should work and act and what their role in that culture was. No one knew how he was going to react, but when her name was called and when she got up and walked across the stage, that grandfather stood right where he was at, white beard flowing, long black coat, prayer tassels visible, and raising his arms, said nothing, but simply stood in a moment of blessing. This is what we talk about today, blessing. I've been thinking about it, and I think what the opposite of blessing is not curse. No. The opposite of blessing is rejection. When you bless somebody, when you are blessed yourself, that is a moment when you know that you have been accepted, when you know that you have approval of those who are giving the blessing. In the exact opposite of that, you know when you've been rejected. It's blessing and rejection. So now come with me into these Gospels. Let me tell you how I have approached this week. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing, because for me, this is a lot of fun. I know you can't see this close up, but what I did was to go get a copy of all four Gospels. Now, I happen to have a parallel Bible that has all four on the same page. If you have that or can access that either in the library or online, awesome. Or you can just get your own Bible and go get a Xerox copy and put all four right next to each other. So I have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are next to each other. And then what I did was to take a stack of colored pens. Every time that there's a part of the story, even one word that is the same in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I would take a green pen and I would underline it. But then I took a blue pen and anything that was just found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that I underlined with a different color pen. And then any combination that I could think of, Matthew, Mark, and John, Matthew, Luke, and John, or just Matthew and Luke, or Mark and Luke, any combination that you want to explore, this is a fantastic way to explore Scripture. And here are the questions that come up out of this. In the next few minutes, this is what we're going to be exploring. What are the differences between these four versions of the same story? Second question, what are the similarities? Third question, what's the point? So what you discover when you go into these stories, when you put either the Mark and the John that we heard today, or all four of them beside each other, you will find that these four stories don't agree. Let me remind you why. If you and I and two of our other friends were standing on four corners of a street and there was a car accident at that intersection, and the police came and they got a report from each of us, all four of us on all four different corners would tell about the same exact accident, but we would be looking at it from a different point of view, a different perspective, and what you would discover is that all four accident reports would not be the same, even though they were telling the same story. Same thing with the Gospels. All right, so here are some of the differences. What are the differences between these stories? Well, what we know is that we're not just sure where this story happened. Now, we know that it happened in the last week of Jesus' life. We're during Holy Week, entering into the Passion, and this happened then. Now, there are two of the Gospels that tell us that this happened in Bethany. And so it was a town, if that was true, this was a town that Jesus was familiar with. But then they don't agree, we don't know where this was in terms of whose house was it at. We don't know what time of day it was. We can guess. What we know is that Jesus went to a meal. We know that there was an ointment. We don't know who this woman was. The Gospels don't agree inside of this. We do know that there were some people who were really irritated at this, but we don't know who that was. It might have been Judas. It might have been the Pharisees. It might have been his disciples. It might have been some other people in the room. We don't know who that was. And we don't know what the reaction to the people in the room was. There's a huge amount of stuff in here that doesn't agree in all four Gospels. So let me remind you this. When we study Scripture together and we're working in these stories, there is what is true, and then there is what is truth. When we talk about what is true, a lot of times what we're talking about is what is the factual trueness that is happening on this. Here are the actual events that happen, and what you discover is that somebody didn't get it right. Somebody is not true inside of this story. Now, this is not a hard thing to fathom. When you stop to consider that the newest of these versions in the story, which was John, were written 60 or 70 years after the event actually happened. Mark was written about 30 years after the event happened. So there's a huge amount. These stories floated around in the Christian community for years and years and years before they were written down, or they were written in different versions. It's not a surprise that there are differences. It's not a surprise that what is true might be difficult to ascertain. But what you discover is that all four versions nail it in what is truth. And we find this when we especially look inside of the words that are in common. All right, so we take our pen. In my case, my green pen. And I look at all the words in those four Gospels side by side that all agree. And what is so cool is that there are not many of these words. But the words that are there absolutely nail it. Like what? Here we go. I want to show you what some of those words were. Jesus was invited to a meal at the table. That's huge, because you have to remember that mealtimes were held to be sacred, that you didn't invite people willy-nilly over to your house. You were very, very careful, and when you did invite them, that was a powerful form of hospitality. Jesus went, and what we know is that with him, he had disciples. We don't know how many, we don't know who, but there were some there. And we know that there was a host. Jesus was invited by somebody else to come into that room. When it says that there was a meal at the table, when you go into the original Greek language, there is a difference in our word table and sit. They didn't use chairs, they used reclining. Sometimes it was on the floor or with pillows, but this was not just a drive-through meal. This was a time where Jesus was invited to come and relax and to be fully present. And while he was there, there was a woman. We don't know who she was, but there was a woman. And she had a jar of ointment. We don't know what that jar looked like. It might have been a flask. There are two of the Gospels that use the word flask. It's an ointment. Two of the Gospels use the word nard. And what we know is that she came uninvited. And she went up to Jesus and began to anoint him. Two of the Gospels say that she anointed his head. Two of the Gospels say that she anointed his feet. We don't know. But she anointed. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. It doesn't matter what that ointment was. It, when it was opened, would have had a powerful smell. Now, can you imagine being at the table with Jesus, and as he was sitting and eating, a woman comes up. He may or may not have known her, and she opens this container and pours it on him. The rest of the men at the table would have been watching this and saying, "What is this?" And then came that ointment. The smell of it filled that room. Those men would have known immediately what ointment that was. They would have recognized the smell. And in that, they would have known how expensive was this. This was not a cheap perfume. This was an expensive ointment. They recognized it. And with that, now it doesn't use this word, but here's the emotion that was present. Consternation. In all four stories, what it says is that the men sitting around the table, we don't know which men, because in each gospel it's different. Somebody said, "What? Do you know how much that costs? What? Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor?" There was consternation in the room. But then, and again, this, it's not using this exact word, but here was the action that followed in all four stories. It was blessing, not rejection. When you look at the skeleton of that story and these few words, all of a sudden, all four Gospels absolutely agree with each other. They don't, the details don't agree, but the basics of it are dead on. So the questions were, what are the differences? And what are the similarities? But now comes the most important question. All right, for you and for me, what's the point? I believe that the point of this absolutely is that today we are talking about blessing and rejection. But now take that a step further. Because what that means is that we are also talking about abundance at the risk of scarcity. And what this means is that we are also talking about love in the risk of fear. Abundance versus scarcity, love versus fear, blessing versus rejection. Remember that when in Jesus' day, the role of a woman in their society was radically different, basically treated as property. What this woman did to Jesus was not acceptable, and what this woman did with Jesus also came with a huge risk. Blessing with the risk of rejection. And how this turned out was that the woman risked the blessing and risked the rejection, and Jesus did not reject, but blessed her. She blessed him, he blessed her. So welcome to this week. None of us have ever seen anything like this. We've seen pandemics before. We've seen the SARS pandemic. We've seen the H1N1 pandemic a decade ago. But none of us have ever seen anything like this. The closest thing that we could perhaps compare it to would be in 1918, the global flu pandemic. Or we could go back into Europe, back in the Middle Ages, when the Black Plague was there. It's that scale. And the reactions have been all over the place. Some people have reacted absolutely in fear. Some people have reacted absolutely in anger. Some have reacted absolutely in panic. And some have reacted with absolute calmness, with the focus being on others, with the focus being on family and togetherness. There are all kinds of ways. You get to choose how you want to react to this time in our history. So let me give you what I think would be some really crucial instructions. It's so important for us to react like this. In the face when there is that risk of rejection, to be reacting absolutely with blessing. So we are called to bless. One of the rejections that we are seeing very powerfully right now, it is not an intentional but an unintentional rejection. You know that we're all practicing social distancing. And with that social distancing, what it means is that there is a cocooning. Cocooning is when we socially isolate ourselves and are only in ourselves. And in some ways, this is very healthy, but in some ways, it's very, very dangerous. Because what happens when our social links are broken? The social breaking down of connection can be almost as deadly as the disease itself. The loneliness and the depression and the side effects are huge. So we today are called to bless. In the face of rejection, the rejection of cocooning, in the rejection that in many cases is felt by social distancing, we are called to bless. But we just have to figure out how to do it. When this woman came to Jesus, she was way outside the box. This had not been done before. These men had not seen this before. And here she was figuring out how to bless in the face of rejection. And what that meant was that she had to focus on the abundance in the face of scarcity. Now, a couple of the Gospels say, oh my gosh, why was this nard not sold for 300 denarii? 300 denarii was almost an entire year's wages. Nobody's asking the question in here, where did you get that ointment? How did you afford that? How did you pay for that? Nobody's asking that question, but it's a very real question. And what you need to know is simply, this was exorbitant. What she chose to do was an act of abundance. And what we see in there was that in the blessing that she was offering and receiving, it wasn't about scarcity. Oh, I better use three drops instead of pouring it. It wasn't about scarcity. It wasn't about thinking about herself. Her thought was absolutely on Jesus, and Jesus' thought was absolutely on her. Blessing, blessing in the abundance that we have. Now, in the days, weeks, months, and even years to come, what we're going to see are the ramifications of this event, and it's going to lead to scarcity. I mean, already, we just laugh at the whole toilet paper issue. Seriously, why does anybody need that much toilet paper? Why do all of us have to hoard that? It's not about scarcity. Guess what? They're making new toilet paper even now as we speak. It's not about scarcity. There is an abundance in which we live, an abundance which says we can care for each other. Even though we may not be able to care for each other face to face, there are other ways that we can do this. So what is it that matters in this story? It's all about the abundance, risking scarcity, blessing that risks rejection. And this means love that risks fear. The power of love that we share with others is all about this. What is the opposite of fear? You might say that it's courage, or you might say that it's bravery. I believe that the opposite of fear is love. The opposite of fear is love. And so when we choose to focus on others, to add blessing and abundance into someone else's life, all of a sudden the fear begins to disappear. Now, mind you, fear and love often happen at the same time. We wish that the love would just cancel out the fear, but we love sometimes in the face of fear. We risk the fear that's going on, but we still love. We still love. So what can you do about this? Well, first of all, realize that in this today, it's not about you, that it's about the blessing that we share with others, the abundance that we share with others, the love that we share with others. And to reach out with that, here's what that would mean. First of all, I want to encourage you to do self-care. You've been on the airlines, and the stewardess will say, please pay attention now, and here are the emergency exits, and here's what will happen if the lights go out and the pressure, and here's what happens if you land in water. Oh, and if the cabin depressurizes, here is your oxygen mask. Put on your own mask first. Yeah, this is what we're called to do. In order for us to be able to help others, to bless others, to be in abundance with each other, to share love with each other, put on your own oxygen mask first. What is it that you need to do? You need to be healthy. You need to be strong. You need to go out for walks. It's okay. You need to be in contact with family, whatever that looks like. You need to set your own boundaries, and you need to be comfortable so that you can work out past your own fear. But then what? Then it becomes all about love and blessing in abundance. So now stop and think, not what are the big things that you can do, what are the small things that you can do? You know, the next small thing that you can figure out, do that. Did you know that in Spearfish down on Main Street is Studio 621? And last Monday, they opened up with a feeding program. And it's very, very informal. If you have food or money that you would like to share, go share it. If you need food, then come get it. Or if you need food, call them and they can deliver it. It's that simple. Well, maybe there's something that you need there. When's the last time you sat down and wrote someone a letter? When's the last time that you sat down and simply called family and friends and just laughed and had conversation together? Put on your own oxygen mask first, but then begin to reach out, to reach out, to reach out. Look, we're going to be at this for a while. It's going to take time for us to work through this. And what that means is that over time, we have to learn how to love each other in new ways. Or maybe it's old ways. But we love each other. So this is what I want to give you today. It's all about this woman who anointed Jesus, that meal at the table with Jesus and his disciples being hosted, this woman who brought a jar of ointment and anointed Jesus, the consternation that was in the room, and the blessing, not the rejection. The abundance, not the scarcity, the love, not the fear, that was present in that room on that day. And that same thing is present here and now, if you choose to let it be. So, blessings on your week. I want to encourage you to invite others to come and worship with us. These worship services are going to be archived on our website. And so you can access them at any time. Would you bow with me? Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray for blessing in our lives. We pray for abundance in our lives. We pray for love in our lives, even when it's frightening, even when we don't know what the future is going to be, even when we don't know how we're going to deal with things. Lord, may it be that you simply live in us and flow through us.